This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 41, where I talk with Elle about her poem, "I Should Probably Play More Sports." I hope you enjoy.
Hello, my username on Young Writers Project is Elle, and this is my poem, "I Should Probably Play More Sports." Watermelon juice stains my hands, the rivulets running like another set of arteries. I grow a second heart in the summer, double beat for salt water and humid frog nights. I waste the beat on someone else's music, but it's mine to waste. My bones feel too weak for real feathers. I'll dream them instead. I'm a pretender pretending, but I love my life too much to find another. Double heart means double love. Maybe I grew the second long ago and never lost it. Even mountain snow can make them skip, despite the winter frost. I've yet to fall for a human, but I can see the plunge before me. I wish my two hearts and my bones were stronger than my mind, so my dream feathers could sprout from my living skin. I wouldn't need more than one life, then, to hold all the love I have for living.
Oh, thank you so much. What was your inspiration for this?
Well, it was the prompt watermelon. So I had to use the words watermelon, frog, skip, feather, and pretend sometime in my poem. So I kind of started thinking about the watermelon first. And watermelon for me is always summer. I've never had melon in the wintertime. And I actually don't like watermelon all that much. I think it tastes good, but it gets everywhere. So my hands always get super sticky. And so that's where the rivulets running comes from. Something about that just reminded me of like my heart in my hands. And I started thinking about having a second heart and then summertime. And I always feel like different in the summer than I do during the school year. And I just started thinking about that, and the rest of the poem kind of snowballed from there.
That's really cool. There's something very alarming about eating fruit in the winter. Like that just, it doesn't belong there. Please don't let it happen. But anyway, yes, that was the other thing I wanted to mention was, "I grow a second heart in the summer" was one of my favorite lines. And I do feel like there's something different about who I am and like the way that I live in the summer. Like it's more lighthearted and carefree. And I'm not tied down by going to these lessons and doing these assignments and like feeling like I have to be in a million places at once, even though I usually am doing like a bunch of odd jobs here and stuff there. But anyway, yes, that feeling of like being light in the summer. And anytime I think of summer, I think of the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants series. I don't know if you've read it.
Or I think I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm. It's a classic for me. I read it when I was, I think, in middle school, and I just reread the first book and I was like, oh, this is so sweet and wholesome. And it's just like that total summery vibes. So, which brings me to my next question, which is, what books do you think of when you think of summer?
Oh boy. That's going to be a really hard one. I read a lot. And so books have kind of become like an amorphous mass. Okay, summertime. I love this book so much, and it takes place in Virginia, where I go in the summer, so I do connect it. The Raven Boys. I've actually done art, like fan art, for it. I love it so much. The way the author writes the characters, they're all very alive compared to other books I've read. But yeah, it takes place in Virginia, and it's about four friends, technically five friends, who try to find the tomb of a dead king. And I don't know, I just really like the mystery of that story. It's just my favorite book.
I think the other's Maggie someone.
Yeah, Maggie, I'm going to butcher this. I have no idea how to pronounce it.
Is it like a Swedish last name? I don't know. I'm not good with names either. Yeah. But yeah, I've heard of that. I don't think I've read it though. But yes, when I think of summer books, I think of cheap paperbacks that I would buy at Barnes & Noble with my friends. And they'd be like 50 or 75 cents and they'd be terrible. But they'd just be like so fun to read when it's like scorching hot outside and I don't want to do anything else. So yes, fun vibes in the summer. Love reading. It's great. But the idea of like growing a second heart in the summer, to go back to your line, was so cool because I feel like there is definitely that change and it feels like you have more space inside of you. This is getting poetic.
Well, it is a poem, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the summertime, I generally get less active because no one's making me do anything, but I feel like I could be more active. Like the second heart thing, I feel like I have the ability inside me. I'm not stressing out about anything. I feel like I could do more stuff or do more things and enjoy more things than I could in the wintertime.
Yeah. And also the line, the double beat for saltwater and humid frog nights was so beautiful to me.
Yeah, that's kind of my summer. Usually we go to the beach every year, my family and I. Unfortunately, due to COVID, we haven't been able to do it for 2 years, which is really sad. But I have grandparents and I don't want to make them sick. So we haven't done that. But usually we go to the ocean and it's my favorite time this summer. And then I wrote this poem. It was super hot and humid for a week. And so I started thinking about humid stuff. And that's where the humid part comes in. So
it hasn't been too hot here, but there were some days when it was pouring rain and it was like the air was so thick. It was like you're moving through and you can physically feel the humidity.
Yeah, that's happened.
That was pretty terrible, but now it's not that bad. It's sunny out. I like the sunshine. Yeah. All right, some more lines. I waste the beat on someone else's music, but it's mine to waste. And also, I'm a pretender pretending, but I love my life too much to find another. What is your inspiration for this?
So I'm a musician. I could be making my own music. I've actually tried. It's very hard though. But I usually listen to, you know, pop music or classic rock or whatever, something on the radio. And I spend a lot of time listening to music actually. And I am not able to watch a lot of TV at my house during the day. So instead, I listen to music and kind of like play my own movies in my head and kind of make them up. And the music's my soundtrack to that. So I'm kind of inventing, I'm kind of like writing a story in my head of like another life, or just because I'm bored and I want something to do. So that line's kind of me wishing I could have this other life, but not as much as I want to live my own life.
Yeah. Oh, I love music so much. I took piano lessons for 12 years. Wait, yeah, 12 years. And so I know a lot about music and I love listening to music. My Spotify is like always on. And my phone's always like, your headphone volume is too loud. And I'm like, you're ruining the vibe. Stop. But anyway, I love music and I feel like it always inspires me to write. And I was talking about this in the last podcast episode, but I sometimes go to Spotify and like listen to songs and music and stuff. And then one little snippet of a lyric will inspire me to write a poem or continue a poem that I'm already working on. And I just love getting inspiration for poetry from music because I feel like they're so interconnected in some way. And I feel like writers who are also musicians have a very specific way of writing.
Yeah.
Like you can tell the rhythm.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we did a whole unit on rhythm and stuff. And I have done poems with rhythm in them because it's more satisfying that way. But a lot of times I'm too lazy. It's a lot of work to do rhythm and stuff. And there's all this like rhyme scheme. And yes, but I do agree with you. There definitely is a difference.
All right, some more lines. Double heart means double love. Maybe I grew the second long ago and never lost it. This is so beautiful to me too, that like your heart is just expanding so much in the summer and you can kind of daydream so much more and imagine all these different lives with all this space inside of your heart.
Yeah, that's exactly how it feels. Like sometimes I'll look at things and I'll just like think really hard about it and just kind of realize like this is a real thing. And I exist and this exists. It's kind of like almost painful, like where the like where your heart is. This is kind of very sappy, but it's the way I can describe it. And yeah, I ski because I live in a winter state in Vermont and there's lots of skiing here. And I think the snow is really beautiful, especially on top of the mountain where all the trees are coated in white. And I was kind of realizing that, like, even though I'm in the winter and I'm surrounded by school and expectations, I can still love the mountain and I love the way the snow looks. And yes, so that's where that line comes from.
Mm-hmm. And another line, I've yet to fall for a human, which reminded me of all the book characters I've fallen in love with all the times. I've been like, I'm the main character. And I just, yeah. I love that so much. I feel like it's so fun to imagine yourself in a book and imagine yourself as like the protagonist falling in love with the cute other characters and be like, ooh, that's totally me.
Yeah, I do it all the time. I've definitely had like crushes on fake people, like in movies or books or whatever. And I'm always like, why aren't they real? I have a boyfriend who's like actually this person. But unfortunately, no, I have never had a real romantic relationship, but you know, I'm going to college next year and I have high expectations. Or at least I hope, you know, because it seems like so much fun to fall in love with someone. And it'd be nice to, like how I was talking before, where you realize that something's real and you love it so much, like how I love the snow. It'd be cool to do that to another human and just like realize you love a person.
I love how you're describing this. It's so sweet. But I totally relate to that. That feeling of like having high expectations because you've been, you know, surrounded by so many in like TV shows and movies and books and stuff that you read as a kid in middle school and high school and all that. All the characters are basically perfect. Like they don't really have any flaws. None of the like awkwardness that real people have. And so when you get to that in real life, you're like, well, this isn't what I thought it would be. Excuse me. There's a gap between like what we see presented as like what it's like to be a teenager and be in love in, you know, the media and what it's actually like in real life. And anyway, that's deep, but I talk about it a lot because it's something that really angers me.
Yeah, it's so true really, though.
There's not really a true story about like that awkwardness of being a teen.
Yeah. I'll read books. It's like Twilight or something where they look at each other and like, they're like, wow, this person is my soulmate or whatever. And then I think about that in real life and I'll look at a person and I'll be like, this would be so awkward if that really happened. Yes, that's very true.
In Twilight, especially if I was like the main character, I feel like it would be so awkward because I'd be like, wait, you literally spent the last month watching me sleep.
It's so creepy. And I don't, that's always creeped me out. I'm like,
right. And like how quickly Bella gets over the whole like vampire thing. I don't think I'd be able to get over it. I'd be like, I'm sorry, but that's too much for me.
I think I watch too much TV because I might be able to get over that. But the watching you sleep part would be, that would be awkward.
It's just, yeah. It's like, there's something so personal about sleeping. I'm like, I don't want to know that you were there when I was sleeping.
Yeah, I don't really want to know what I look like when I sleep. I bet it's not very flattering.
Also, have you read Midnight Sun, which is like supposed to be Twilight, the first book from Edward's perspective?
No, I actually want to because it just seems like I feel like I have to because I've read all the others.
First of all, it's about this thick.
Like foot thick.
And I read like 3/4 of it, but I was so disappointed because it's basically all copy and paste from the first book. But just like from his eyes, the same conversations, the same moments, like there's not really anything new. And I feel like it was really missing something for me. I wish she had done it a little bit differently, the author. It's cool to see it from his eyes, but it's not necessary, you know?
Have you ever read the Divergent series?
Yes, I think.
Yeah.
The first one?
Well, anyway, there's the author wrote another book about from another character's point of view, but she did it, I think, a lot better than what you said. Yeah, it had new material in it and like their backstory and stuff. So I can see how Midnight Sun, the way she wrote it, that sounds rather boring.
That's what it was. It was boring. It's like, this is about vampires and like their drama, but it's still really boring.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have a bunch of book questions today because I'm feeling very booky. Here's another one. What makes a book worth reading to you? Which kind of ties into what we were just talking about.
I don't read mystery novels, but I like all my books to have some sort of like mysterious content that either they find out a bit of or they never find out anything at all. Or maybe they figure it out in the end, but that makes me want to keep reading it if there's a secret, because then I want to know what it is. I really like to have the author to have a really good writing style. If it's kind of more elementary, I get kind of bored and unimpressed, and I can lose interest in the book pretty fast. But if there's mystery and then also really developed writing style, I get really into the book. And I've read books in one day. I have done that. But that can happen.
Yeah, I agree about those two things for sure. The mystery and the like well-developed writing. Those are definitely important for me. I would also say that I want something that kind of pulls me in to make me feel like I'm right there, or like this is a totally new way of seeing something that I've already experienced, or just something that's like physical and it's not just like words on paper.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely like it if one of the characters is more relatable, like something I've seen in real life I can connect to, because then it makes the book feel more believable and like, and I'm like, oh, this could be real, even if it's got magic or whatever, or fairies or something. So yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. Also, this is a funny story that I'm going to tell. Because last night I was reading, and I got to the point where I'd been reading for so long that I started to rewrite the sentences. I don't know if anyone else has done this, but after I read for a very long time, I start thinking like, wait, how would I have written this? And then I start like rearranging it, and I'm like, oh yes, that sounds so much better. Then I catch myself and I'm like, wait, no, this is how they wrote it. So it's a problem. But it continues into my other problem, which is if I'm reading a lot before bed, I dream I'm reading the book, but I make up the story. And it keeps going from like what I've made up. And then I wake up and I'm like, wait, did I even read that? Did I make it up? I have a lot of difficulty with that.
I have done similar things. I don't think I do that as much as you do. I'm not sure how you do it. But if I'm really interested in what happens next and I really want to know, I'll start dreaming about it and making up my own ending. And sometimes it's very unsatisfying. And then I'll wake up and I'll be like, wait, that did not happen, thank goodness. Because I've done that. We were in the car on a road trip and we were listening to an audiobook, and my parents stopped it because it was a good place to stop. And they were like, we can listen to the rest of it tomorrow. I'm like, no. And I dreamed an ending to it, and it was unsatisfying. And I'm very glad that was not the real ending. So yeah, I've done that.
Yeah. The real one that gets to me though is when I try to rewrite it. And then I get so distracted when I'm reading sometimes, because I'm either like really into the book and I don't hear like my parents talking to me, or I get distracted by a word and I'm like, oh, that's a great word, I've got to write a poem about it. Like I'm a little gnome collecting words. So then I have to like write a poem, and then it's been like 2 hours and I'm still on the same page, and I'm like, whoops, guess I just wrote a bunch of poetry.
Yeah, I think the opposite happens to me. When I start reading a book, I just like get like totally sucked in, and I cannot leave the book very well. So sometimes it's a bit similar to how you rewrite the book, but I will sometimes read too fast and I'll totally miss like half the words on a page. I'll have to reread it. Like, wait, this happened? I didn't even notice. So I do that on accident.
I read so fast too. I think it was really weird in middle school. I was really obsessed with figuring out like how fast I read. So I would like time myself. But I think I read maybe like 100 pages in an hour. But I used to read a lot faster. That's how much I can do now. But it's a lot slower when I'm reading textbooks for school.
But, no, I hate reading textbooks.
It's terrible. But anyway, I can't remember what book it was. My memory is terrible right now. But I read some book and I really liked it. And I was like, that's a weird word for them to use, but okay. And then I read it like two more times, and it wasn't until like the third or fourth time that I had read it that I realized I had been reading the word wrong the entire time. And I was like, oh, that makes so much more sense. So I don't know why my brain just stopped working for that one word, but yes, book problems, I have many. Anyway, moving back to your poem, the ending. I wouldn't need more than one life than to hold all the love I have for living. This seems like such a sweet and nice little conclusion to the watermelon and frog and saltwater beachy vibes to the poem, that like you don't need more than what you already have. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Mostly. I was kind of like, I want what I've already got, but I also wish I could fly. So I'm glad I have my life, and I feel like it's probably a really good thing that I love it. I like what I've got, but I guess the poem was kind of talking about how I wish that I could also have all these things that are in my head that I cannot have. I can only dream that I've got. So I kind of wish that I was able to grow wings and fly and live the life I've got now. And then I could love every part of my existence because I wouldn't have to dream the things I wanted. So
that's really
but mostly, sweet. Mostly I just like what I've got. See you right.
It's kind of bittersweet.
Yeah.
All right. So here's a big question. How does writing help you keep your love for living and get through difficult times?
Wow. Well, writing for me is pretty social, actually, because I share all my stories with my friends and they comment on them. And it makes me really happy to get comments because I'm like, people are reading my stuff. I feel like a respected author, even though only three other people know I exist in the writing scheme of things. So, but I think mostly I use writing kind of like a history lesson here. I took AP history last year and now it's stuck in my head. Escapism in the depression, people watched movies because they didn't want to think about the fact that they were starving or had no money or whatever. And so I guess during really stressful times when I'm procrastinating and not doing my homework, I write on my stories and then I kind of distract myself and think about other things and how much fun it is to write and how I like my characters. And so that's how my writing helps me deal with hard times. But also I can compare my characters' lives to my own. I'm like, wow, their lives really stink. I'm sorry, my characters, I'm making your lives awful. But I've got this awesome life and I don't have to worry about fighting monsters or having no food or being cold because I have my house. So it's kind of both ways. I can escape from my life and I can escape from theirs.
That is so cool. And I also want to ask about your characters because from what I've seen on your YWP blog, you do mainly write. I know that I've read most of them, but I can't remember the title of your book.
It's The Arcane.
Yes,
The Arcane. Actually.
So how is that going? Tell us more about it.
Well, I finished it. It took about a year and a half, which is actually less time than I thought it would, but still a long time. I signed up. I'm actually thinking of changing the name. Not sure why. I guess, I don't know. I'm getting kind of bored with that title, but anyway, back to the topic at hand. I'm thinking about publishing it, maybe, but I'm also, it needs a lot of work, like a lot of it. So that's rather daunting. I need to add like whole new chapters in some places for more character development and just to make the story more interesting. But the story itself I have right now, I guess I'd say since it's done, it's probably my best one so far. And I had so much fun writing it. And I love my characters. But that's kind of, I mentioned before that in a book, I like mystery. And this one does, the one I wrote, The Arcane, doesn't have a whole lot of it, but it's like how the Shadow Veil got into existence and what lives in it. And I also like scary monsters, not in movies, but I like writing about them and reading about them. And so I put those in there. And it kind of, I don't remember who said this. I think it was probably my mother. She said that if you can't find the book you want to read, you better write it. I'm sure that's been said multiple times, but that was kind of my thinking. I wanted mystery and I wanted monsters. And so I wrote about it.
That sounds really cool. I love that you just wrote what you wanted to read. So how did you first become interested in writing?
So, wow, this is going to be a fun story. When I was maybe a sixth grader, my friends and I, have you ever heard of LARPing or live action role play? Yeah, we did that for like a month straight. We did the same thing. We called it the game, but this one was like capital T, capital G. And it was shapeshifters. We were all shapeshifters and there was like wars and we tried so hard to keep it going, but eventually it died out after like the fifth pandemic or whatever. But one of my friends started writing it out and then I tried it too because it looked really fun. And so I kind of like took what we had and I'd forgotten most of what happened. So I started writing my own story and then I just started writing more and more. So that's mostly how I started. Yeah.
That's really cool that you became interested in writing through your friend. I feel like my friends have always either steered me toward writing or away from it. It's always either a good influence or a bad influence. But it's cool to see how, you know, the poetry that I wrote with my friends or the stories that we worked on together were so kind of similar to my writing style. I feel like I always kind of dominated whatever we worked on. I'd be like, no, that's not how I would write it. And I always had to change it.
But I don't know.
I do like writing with others. I think it's fun to share what you have and see what they have and kind of compare your writing styles. So What books and authors have shaped you as a writer and a human being?
The Raven Boys, again, I want to be her when I get older. I really love her writing style. I have not read all of the Lord of the Rings, but I love the way he creates his place names, like, and the names of everything in his stories. Tolkien, the way he writes it is just so cool. And so I always try to have really cool place names and concept names because of that. I'm trying to think back. I have read a ton of Rick Riordan. I really love the way his characters talk to each other. They're so funny and he's really funny in his dialogue. And so I try to also be funny because I think it's more interesting that way.
That's really cool. I love mythology. I took a mythology class last semester and it was so much fun. It reminds me of my childhood when I was reading fairy tales and just classic books that had to do with myths. They're just so fun to me. And I just read Circe and the Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller. And oh, I'm telling everyone to read them. Like, everyone I talk to, I'm just like, read this right now. It is so good.
I have read Circe. I've not read the Song of Achilles, but my friends are like, you have to read this book. But yeah, I really love that book.
Everyone Circe. Told me that I would cry if I read the Song of Achilles. Well, no one told me, but I read about it online that like it's going to make you cry. And I was like, this is kind of sad, but I didn't really cry. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too unemotional for it. But they were both so good. And I love how the author like twisted the myths to like kind of how she wanted to talk about them.
And yeah, I thought that was cool. I don't know a whole lot about Circe as like in the Greek mythology. They didn't really go into her and all those myths I read. But I mean, obviously it was before, you know, gender rights and for women and stuff. And I thought that was really cool how she brought some feminism into the story. And yeah.
Yeah. I love how she took that story that was like based around all the male characters and all of their wars and fights and this and that. And she really made it about Circe and about like her story. And it was amazing. So many quotes that I was like, oh yes, that is so good. There are so many times when I'm reading a book or even just like an article or something online and I'm like, oh, that is such a good quote.
Yeah.
And then of course I always forget to write it down. So I lose it forever. But here's one more question. I found this from The Guardian. They had an article about poets and writers and such. And this is the question. Some poets claim that a poem is like a living creature. Once it's out, there is not much you can do to correct or improve it, while others edit meticulously, not leaving much from the original draft form. What is your take on this?
I guess I'm kind of like the first one, I definitely understand. I've met people who edit a bunch, and I know that sometimes to be good, you have to edit a bunch. But whenever I do writing, even in my essays for school, I'll just write one thing and then I'll be like, that's it. I don't have anything else to give. And then I put it out there. So I guess the living creature thing, that's how I think about it. And sometimes when I'm writing a poem or a story, I talk about it to my friends as if it's not mine. It's like its own thing, and I'm just like putting it out there because it needs to get out, but I have no control over it. And it's like its own living creature. So I understand that one.
Yeah, I actually wrote a poem about this, about how the poems that I write are their own little creatures and how I can't really change anything about them once I've shared them. And it's also kind of about, like, does it belong to me anymore after I've written it? And after I've shared it with all these people and they've read it, like, at what point is it not mine anymore? And that's a question that I love to think about. Because I think it's really interesting to think, like, after I write a poem and I've spent so long creating it and I share it with everyone and they read it and take their own meanings into it, at one point does it kind of leave me from being my creation to kind of something that they're all accessing and like, I don't know, bringing into their minds?
Yeah, I definitely get that. Yeah, sometimes I'll tell my friends, I'm like, I want to get to the good part in my story. Like, why can't it happen yet? And they're like, well, you can write. And I'm like, no, I can't. It can't come yet.
Well, how did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
I get the Burlington Free, well, I get Hometown, which is part of the Burlington Free Press. And so Young Writers Project poems and pictures are published in there. And so I've read them, I don't know, for a long time. My elementary school teachers were like, you should join. And I was too lazy, so I didn't. I don't know, one day I was reading poems and I was like, that sounds really fun. I want to write a poem too. And so I did. And I was like, well, I've got this poem. Why don't I post it? And so I made an account. And it's been really helpful for me, actually, like writing wise, because I never wrote poems before. And now I am. And I feel like it's been really helpful for me to express myself and develop the way I write. And I really like seeing other people's writing and their pictures. I really love some of the art on that website. They're so good. And yeah, it's been pretty important now for me.
I'm so glad. That's so sweet. I agree. It's really nice to see what others are writing and kind of take inspiration from that and be like, ooh, that would be fun to write about. And there's always something happening and some kind of writing that's being shared or art that's being posted. And I really like that. And would you consider writing as a career?
Yes. It would not be my main career because I actually want to be an astronomer and I'm pretty set on that one. I think space is cool. But I do want to write on the side and I want to publish books and I've got several books I want to finish and publish. And I don't know if it's going to happen, but I really want it to. So I do definitely want to be an author as a career. It'd be really fun.
That's so cool. Astronomy. I think space is pretty cool too. I love stars. I love learning about it. Yeah. And I feel like there's something so poetic about space too and about stars. And like, I always use stars in my poetry and that kind of metaphor for like moonlight and stuff. Moonlight is so poetic to me. I don't know why.
Yeah. I've definitely put space in my poems several times before. I actually used the fact that I want to be an astronomer for my first poem I posted. I kind of used that as like a metaphor for college. Going to space was a metaphor for college for me because I want to study it. So yeah, that's come into my poems before. And I definitely think stars are very poetic in my opinion. And moonlight's pretty cool too, especially since it's like nighttime sunlight because it's sunlight, but it's moonlight. That made no sense.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's like, it's so pretty. And there's something so like, I don't know, it's different. Like in the sunlight, things are just normal. But like when there's moonlight, they're special, like adventurous, and just really interesting and fun. But a lot of the poems that I write are about college and about like relating it to different parts of my life. And honestly, I think The thing with a lot of my poems is that they say you or I or whatever, but it's not always a person. Sometimes it's like an experience that I'm talking about, or a place, or oftentimes it's like growing up or talking to my younger self. And so I think it's interesting to come across poems that kind of do that same thing, where like it, you could interpret it as like someone that I used to know or someone that I'm friends with or whatever. But most of the times for me, it's college or a certain experience that I'm writing about. And I think it helps me to kind of get through the process of thinking about it without actually thinking about it. It's kind of like as a coping mechanism. Like I write poetry about it so I don't have to think about it. And it's nice to have that outlet where I can express how I feel and not be like, oh, this doesn't reach the word count for my essay, or blah, 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 citations. So yes, that was my rant about that.
Yeah, I think that poems are the best if you can apply it to different, like everyone can apply it to their life, even if it's not to the same part of their life, because then it has meaning for everyone and it makes more sense to people that way. And then it's also fun to learn about why what the author was thinking about. And you're like, wow, this is what they meant, but I heard it this way. That's so cool to compare what that means. There's Dreamsicle Belly Up by Reese.
Oh my gosh, that was one of my favorite poems to read and talk about on line break.
Yeah, I wrote another like poem based off of that, because in school we studied poems that were like based off of each other, and I was like, that sounds really fun and this poem is so inspiring. And so I made mine about college. I'm pretty sure hers is about college too. So I wrote mine about growing up and going to college, and it actually helped me understand her poem more too, to write about it. So I thought it was really fun to be able to take meaning out of someone's poem or story and make it my own, and also, but also like keep their meaning going.
Yeah, I love that you're just kind of taking what you relate to and using it in your own, from your own perspective and kind of your own voice, and still keeping the original part. I think that's really special when you can like read something and relate it to your life, but in a way that is different from the original one, you know? Yeah, college, it's like there's so much there, and I always go back to it because I feel like that's almost the only thing I can write about, and it always comes out as like a sad love poem. I don't know why I can't write about it any other way. I got an email from a college today, and I was like, this is a little too personalized. I don't know, because they started off by pretty much saying that we're not like other girls, and like, we're different, you're different, you should come to our college. And I was like, okay, yeah, I am different. I'm so cool. And then they said that come to Massachusetts, where the college is, which is a mecca of art and poetry and food. And I was like, wait a second, those are three of my favorite things. I'm not sure that this is your mass email. And then they were like, Iris, just come visit us, definitely see us. And I don't know, something about it was a little bit too intimate. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of glad I never got anything like that. I'm like, how'd you know?
Right? It's crazy. I was like, wait, this is the first one that's ever mentioned poetry and food, literally my two favorite things. So what? It alarmed me. Now, if they had said like Margaret Atwood books and ice caramel macchiatos, I'd be like, no, call it off.
Stop talking
the cameras. Something's going on here.
Yeah, college emails. I have definitely gotten a lot of those. And I agree that college is on my mind a lot too. I have to start buying stuff for college now. And I don't know what I'm doing. But I keep thinking about my life. Because before, when I was in public schooling, I was like, oh, I'm going to go through the grades. And that's how it works. My life is planned. But now I'm like looking after I graduate college. I'm like, wow, I have to take care of myself. I have to figure out what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And it's very scary. So I'm definitely thinking about it a lot and writing about it a lot.
For me, thinking about it and writing about it are basically the same thing. They look the same, they feel the same, they talk the same. There's nothing different about them. But yeah, I mean, just like that thought, and this, I talk about this so much, everyone's probably sick about hearing me talk about it, but like, once you turn 18, in my mind, it's like, okay, take care of yourself, figure things out, do this and do that. And that might just be my personality. That might just be how I see the world. But I feel like there's definitely this like time when, like a distinct time when you feel like, now it's my turn to do this. It's my turn to like be responsible for myself and my life and figure out who I want to be and what I want to do. And there's something so stressful about that for me. It just gets to me every time. And then like, okay, I gotta stop thinking about this. I'm going to read a book instead.
Yeah. I turned 18 recently, like a month ago. And I feel like I should still be mom, take care of me and make me my food. But I have to do that myself now. And I have to, you know, buy my own things and get a job and make sure I'm ready to go to college and fill out all these forms. And it's definitely scary. I mean, I like feeling like I can take care of myself, but it's also hard. I'm not really looking forward to taxes and everything that comes with being an adult.
I had to fill out a bunch of tax forms because I'm working for my college right now as basically a TA for a class. And it was really stressful. It was terrible trying to figure out like all the forms that I needed. And then I had to meet with one of the office managers on Zoom. And then we kept having to reschedule because I had to fill something else out. And then she didn't tell me how to do it on my own. And it was terrible. And I was like, oh God, if this is what being an adult is, I don't want to bring me back to being a kid in the pool. But yeah, that like feeling of, whoa, this is up to me now. It's a lot, but there's something exciting about it. I mean, as much as I can be stressed out, I kind of have to remind myself that like, you know, it's exciting. This is the only time that I'm going to be 17. So might as well have fun with it, that kind of thing. Instead of being like, oh my God, I'm 17. I'm almost 18. And like time is running out for me. So trying to change my mindset.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to enjoy this summer as much as I can before I have to start living away from home and taking care of myself and making sure I'm fed. It's very exciting. And it's also nerve-wracking, but I'll be near home, so I can always call or whatever. So I know that I can still rely on my family, and that's nice.
Yeah, and like knowing that they're gonna be there for you and they're gonna help you when you need help, it makes me so emotional.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you so much for talking with me today. I've had so much fun talking about your poem and books and college and all sorts of things. My random talks and rambles.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I've had a lot of fun.
This has been episode 41 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 42. Bye!